Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dynamic Dojo Show with Restita and Robert, your source for martial arts talk radio.
3, 2, 1, we're live.
Welcome to Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio with Restita and Robert. I hope everyone is having a great 4th of July weekend. I'm joined here at the helm by my esteemed co-host, Sifu Robert Gill. Sifu Bob, how you doing today?
I'm good. How are you? Did you have a good 4th?
I did. I had a great 4th. Me and Lynn did some bull whipping and knife throwing and slingshot shooting and barbecuing. it was really, really fun. Really fun. But I taught like normal yesterday and taught like normal today. And that was cool because I can't handle having that many days off without doing something martial art related or even talking about it. So that was good. But I just kind of want to vent a little bit, speaking of the 4th of July. Okay, I just want to tell all the kids out there, you know what, if you have illegal fireworks, that's great, but, you know, set them off properly or find someone to sell them to or whatever if you don't want your M100s and M1000s anymore because, and here comes the rant, 3 teenage punks tried to blow up my dojo's dumpster today. I was like, are you serious? So, okay, here's how it went. I'm sitting in my car. It was after class. I was on my way here, actually, so I could start the show. So I'm sitting in the car, and I'm finishing a text message to a friend, and these 3 teenagers come walking through the parking lot, and they're laughing and stuff. And I don't even think they saw me sitting in the truck. They were just laughing and stuff. And then I see a little wisp of smoke, and I'm thinking, oh, a teenager's smoking, right? Well, one of the teens opened up the dumpster next to my building, and then they started running down the alley. Next thing you know, the dumpster blows up. Boink! You know, well, actually, it went boom, and the top flies off, and there's smoke everywhere. I mean, it didn't blow up the dumpster. It just blew up in the dumpster, right? But it was enough to blow the top off. So I don't know what they put in there, M1000, M100, I don't know. You know, but it sure was loud. And so I went, phew! They didn't see me in the truck, and my truck was already running. So I sped into the alley, and there they were. And I slowed down. And, of course, one of them flipped me off. And, you know, and I was, like, really kind of pissed off because I don't have automatic windows in that old truck. I wanted to roll down the window and say, hey, blow those up in your own yard. Don't blow them in other people's dumpsters. That's all I wanted to say, right? But, no, they got to go flip me off. And then one of the other kids throws a lit M100 at me. I don't know if it's 1,000 or 100. I don't know. I just knew it was a big report that he threw at me. And it blew up, and I was like, I wanted to get out of the truck. But 3 of them, one of me, although I had, 2 metal sticks in the car and stuff like that. But I was just so beside myself. I was like, really? Really? You think that's funny? Oh, my God. Anyhow, kids, don't be stupid.
Yeah, but imagine the headlines. This would have been funnier than hell. Little Filipino woman beats the crap out of 3 teenagers.
But you know what? If they weren't under 18, I probably would have been more inclined to want to get out. But then again, 3 of them, one of me. You know, so
but
in an alley.
But if you dyed your hair again, nobody would believe you're over 20 anyway.
That's true. So it could be like a bunch of teenagers fighting in an alley. Oh, my goodness.
I saw something on Facebook that describes my life. Did you know? Now, you've seen me occasionally partake in the sustenance of the gods, the occasional beer and
vodka?
The occasional vodka, right?
Oh, uh-huh.
I've decided I don't really drink. I am just disinfecting my internal injuries.
love it. I love it. I'm going to have to remember that. I'm going to have to remember that. I love it. Well, listeners, our phone number here is 347-677-0699. Stay tuned after our first segment, because after we're done with this first segment, we're going to bring on the world champion Magallanes family. I hope I'm saying that right. I'm taking the double L and pronouncing it in Spanish, Magallanes, as opposed to Magallanes, which is what it looks like. So maybe they'll correct me when they get on the line with us about a little after 6:30. So stay tuned. We're going to talk to Anthony Jr. and Monique and Jasmine Magallanes, NBL, multiple world champions in Kung Fu and Wushu and a bunch of other martial arts. So stay tuned as we talk to those youngsters. Anyhow, yeah. So how was your fourth?
Mine was good. Very uneventful, you know. They had to take Brandon to and from work a couple times and take Bree a couple places. Tonight, my wife actually won't be home tonight. She's grabbing me dinner right now. They're having a film crew at her work doing either a commercial or a movie or a TV show or something, because that's done quite often there. But they have to shoot at night. They won't disrupt
right.
the business.
Yeah.
So they're shooting at night, and she got notified about 3 o'clock this afternoon. And she's working 10 to 6 today. She's got to go back at 8 and stay until 5 in the morning.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
It sucks to be her.
Yeah, it does. I don't miss those double shifts at all. And I hope she gets paid well for this, if you know what I mean.
she has better.
Yeah. Now, would that be double time or time and a half? Because it is a holiday weekend. I don't know. I think she should get double time.
It should be double time, but I doubt it. And I figured out, changing the subject real quick. You know, every week from now on is a martial arts weekend for me. I'm doing something martial arts related until the Masters.
Yeah.
Every weekend. And we've got a lot of stuff to go over.
We do. So why don't we go ahead and get started? So let's go ahead and start off with birthdays. Yeah. Well, let's see. Let me do the couple that I have of my friends, and then you can do yours. Okay. So happy birthday to my good friend Helen Yee. She does Bando, and her birthday is on today. Like, it's on the 6th. Oh, that's today. So happy birthday, Helen. I'd like to send a big birthday shout-out to my Tai Chi student, Brian Schiffer. He's been with me for quite a while, and his birthday is on Wednesday the 9th. And another big shout-out goes to John Davis of the John Vic Jiu-Jitsu Ru system. I met him through my other martial arts brother, Grandmaster Daryl Sargent, and his birthday is on the 11th. So that's it for my buddies on Facebook birthdays.
Well, this one's mine. I've known him for 22 years. We met when we were 28. Silky Greg Wooldridge. Now, it's funny with Silky Greg. His birthday's on Friday the 11th. Now, you know, him and I are the same age. But because my birthday's April, he kids me about being a full year older than him for like 2 months. So he is 50, and we're going to be the same age again. So bite me, boy.
Right on. That's kind of what it's kind of a similar occurrence with me and Grandmaster Cheryl. She was born in June. Granted, she was born in 69. So it's not quite 3 years. I always want to say 3 years, but it's two something, I think. I don't remember how it is, but that always confused me. But I met her when she was 19 and I was 23, so it's been a long time.
long time.
Yeah, so we kind of joke around. She calls me old lady and junk like that. But and I keep thinking she's my age because of the closeness and the birthdays, but that's not the case. So anyhow, for everyone out there having a birthday this week of July 6th through the 12th, this tune's for you.
We sing happy birthday to you. And may all your dreams come true.
Happy, happy birthday.
Oh,
this is your birthday song.
Oh,
happy birthday, everybody. Enjoy your birthday week. Don't party too hard. All right, let's get on to our usual announcements and events. Now, before we get into the announcements, Bob, I just want to do a plug about our other shows on our network. Yes, listeners, we do have other shows on this network. It's just not me and Bob, although it was that for almost a year. It was just me and Bob. Yeah. But we've got three other shows. And here they are. On Mondays, every Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific time, we have the Legacy Forum, and that is hosted by Harry and Robin Shirey. And this show is really cool because it provides great information that assists people in living a balanced life. And the show presents a fun and interesting approach to living that helps anyone create an inspirational legacy, quote unquote. Now, such program topics feature yoga, nutrition, network marketing, self-development, self-improvement, informational tidbits, and guest interviews. So I kind of call it like the farmer's almanac of our network. So that's the Legacy Forum, Mondays at 7. And on Tuesdays, it's our newest show on the network. It's Kimberly's Intentional Moment, hosted by Kimberly Canals. And this particular show focuses a lot on yoga, motivational subjects, awareness training, spiritual practice, and the whole nine yards. It's a great show if you're into yoga, even Reiki, and any other cool exercise like that. So listen on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific time. And our other show is Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific time, Violet Reiki Radio with Rose Jimenez about all things Reiki and Reiki spirituality. And she gets a lot of great spiritual teachers on that particular show. Fun, and she's fun. You know, a lot of people tend to think that, you know, Reiki is just, you know, New Age woo-woo. And if you don't believe it, you don't believe in it. And a lot of people tend to think that Reiki people are like just, you know what I'm talking about, Bob? That stereotype about like hippies and New Agey and stuff like that, you know, that kind of stereotype?
Oh, I was going for nuts.
Yeah, and nuts, that kind of thing. Now, you've met Rose. She's just a hoot. I mean,
yeah.
She's a blast. She's just the funnest person that just happens to do Reiki. And she's not, you know, woo-woo crazy and junk like that. In fact, that kind of stuff tends to drive her insane, too. It's kind of funny. So anyway, Thursdays at 6. All right, I'm going to hand the mic over to you, Bob, because I know you've got a lot of stuff that you want to announce.
I know you won't be on that much longer because of the seasonal, but we do have a show on Wednesday night.
Yes, thank you for reminding me. Thank you for reminding me because I need to, like, get caught up on some archived shows there. We've got Dan Hecht's Kicking It Old School that airs as an archive every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific. And again, it's an archive. He normally runs live on KCAA 1050 a.m. on Mondays at, is it 5? It's 5, isn't it?
It's right? 5 and 6 now, yeah.
Yeah, 5 p.m. Pacific time. So you can actually call in and talk to Dan and Jim there at KCAA 1050 a.m. That's down in Loma Linda, California, I believe. And you can talk to him and talk to the guests that they have on there. But since his show is also archived through our network, we air it a second time the following Wednesday. And the last couple Mondays, I've been pretty bad about getting those archives out there. So I need to get caught up on, I think, one? No, two. I need to get caught up on two archives. So it would have been one just wait a minute. Is it two? Or is it going to be two tomorrow?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be two tomorrow because I archived the one before last week. I just archived it. I didn't because I did it like on a Friday instead of Wednesday. I just archived it. So I think tomorrow it will be two after they air. So anyhow, so we have four shows and we hope to add on more. We have a tentative one that I'm still talking to Grandmaster Daryl Sorgen about, slated for Friday evenings, possibly around 6 p.m. Pacific time. And I still need to get a hold of Sifu Al and, you know, see what his thoughts are about starting his Saturday show. So, growing. Okay, so let's move on to your announcements.
Okay, so I'm going to start from day by day.
Okay.
First one, there is going to be a Lima Llama tournament, the War of the Warriors Martial Arts Championship. This is their 15th annual, hosted by Gabriel Zayas and Richard Nunez. It's going to be next Saturday, July 12, 2014, at the Lord's Gym and Family Life Center at 8435 South Greenleaf Avenue in the city of Whittier. And they're $50 a division.
Right on.
After that, we've got the Martial Arts System Museum, 2 weekends in a row are having something special. They're located at 2319 West Magnolia Boulevard in the city of Burbank, 91506, and their phone number is 818-478-1722. And the 19th of July, they're having Donnie Williams Day. Come down and celebrate with a great grandmaster. And then the following weekend is going to be a really cool weekend. They're having Saul Kowalu Day, Lua Master. That's going to be a great weekend.
Yeah.
And the following weekend, you're coming into town to join me and at the Masters Hall of Fame on August 1st and 2nd. The banquet, of course, will be the 1st, and the seminar schedule will be on the 2nd of the month. And for our seminars, we're going to have Mike Sandoz teaching combative kung fu, Mark Shuey teaching cane masters, cane system, Jacob Bressler teaching kapop, Michelle Manu teaching Kualu Lua weapons and open hand techniques. Robert Parham teaching kickboxing. Darren Cabone teaching Serrata Esgrima. And Ristita D'Azus teaching blending the art from concept to combat. Woo!
Yay!
A lot of stuff going on this summer.
A lot of stuff.
You know, and since you're in town, we on the 3rd of August, we're going to Universal Studios taking that day off.
Woohoo! Woohoo! Yeah, exactly. Now, what day was that? That was going to be the, let's see there. I'm going to, because I'm thinking of flying in like Wednesday night. I still haven't bought my ticket yet, but I'm thinking of flying in like Wednesday night because it's cheaper that way.
Okay, yeah, it's cheaper now. Remember, I do have to work on Thursday, so you can hang out and do your stuff, go to lunch and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But my wife will be off, so it won't be that bad. Like, you're going to be left all alone.
Oh, yeah. And even if I was, that's fine.
You're a big girl.
Walk around. I'm a big girl. I can find some place to eat or whatever. And then Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday's our day off, right?
Right.
And then I'd have to leave on Monday, and then we're good to go. Yay.
We're good. And then you're coming back. Oh, and I forgot, you're coming back here in September on September 6th.
Yes.
It's going to be the Martial Arts Museum Hall of Honors.
Yes. And that's going to be fun. And thank you again for nominating me. It's going to be a great honor to be on the boards with all of those other wonderful, wonderful martial artists like Doug and Carrie Wong and just so many people that I've looked up to over the last 30-something years. And to be able to be a part of that, it's kind of humbling.
Yeah, and you know, they've
humbling.
Been guests on our show, and you finally got to meet them at Dragon's.
Yes, that made me a happy camper. That's
yes.
Very cool. Awesome. That's a lot of events. So with that said, I think, unless you have any more, I think we can go on to health news.
I think we can go on to health news.
All right. Health news. Here we go. Well, more like health tips, because a lot of the health news out there is pretty much like PubMed. All right. So these tips are 3 rules. For older people doing martial arts. Now, technically, this article was for older guys doing martial arts, but reading through this, it applies to anyone that's middle-aged and over. So, rule number 1, recovery. You need to rest more to recover from training than your younger classmates. In your head, you might think you're the second coming of Randy Couture, but you're not. it said that. Unless you've spent your entire life as a professional athlete before taking up martial arts, you are going to suffer. Now, in the book, quote-unquote, The Path to Black Belt, authors Rodrigo Gracie and Kid Peligro recommend only training twice a week to begin with so that your body can adapt and get used to the beating that is involved in constant practice. Consider the source and how many beginner martial artists the Gracies have trained and then follow suit. Now, don't be fooled into thinking you don't need more recovery. Ice is your friend. So are contrast showers. Those are great for getting rid of the pain and the stiffness. And you might also need a weekly massage, if not biweekly. Massage is absolutely vital for older athletes who are still trying to push hard. And that's where I want to do a plug for my massage therapist, Lynn Yancha, licensed massage practitioner at Century Massage and Bodywork. She's also a martial artist, so she understands what I go through. So every month I go in and get my tune-up, and it's fine. But these last couple months I failed to get my tune-up, and look where it got me, Bob. It got me like that whole week of everyday migraines that I've been complaining about.
True.
And, yeah. All right, let's move on to rule number two for older people training in the martial arts, responsibility. Along with more recovery, you're going to need more time looking out for yourself. If you're about my age, and I don't know how old the author was of this particular article, but he says, if you're about my age, then you've got responsibility. So I guess it's safe for us to say that because, you know, I am going to be 48 this year, so I'm almost 50. So you've got responsibilities, folks, if you're middle-aged. Speaking for myself, the author says, as a business owner, one of the main reasons I stopped BJJ, and again, this is the author talking, was because I was getting to the point where I wasn't able to demonstrate good movement at work the next day. If you get your arm broken, you might find your ability to earn money for your family and pay your mortgage is greatly decreased. So, to make sure that you're robust enough to deal with the hardships of martial training, you will need to spend about the same amount of time working on your physical self as you do on your combat skills. Now, some of this time will need to be spent on strength work and some, or at least an equal amount, on flexibility. Don't forget the flexibility, folks. Don't be that old geezer in the martial arts class who can't kick above waist high. Now, as a friend of mine, who was on the national team for Taekwondo, says, it looks like two trees fighting. Now, here's the thing, though. You know, I kind of like kicking below the waist. That's where all the good bits are, like knees, ankles, Achilles tendons, groins. You know? I figure if I'm going to kick someone in the head, I'm going to bring them down to my level first, dang it. All right. Rule number three. First and foremost, folks, relax. Not all of your training needs to be hard. I know it seems counterintuitive, especially when you start to think that you've already given up years of time to all those younger people around you. But if you start going all out all the time, you're going to quickly wind up hurt. Martial arts is a lifelong journey, remember, not a sprint for the next 2 months. So, display the kind of maturity you're supposed to have and accept that you are in this for the long haul. Giving up a session this week to make sure you can train for the next four is well worth it. That extra session you're thinking about right now could wind up being 12. What? This sentence didn't make sense. Let me say that again. That extra session you're thinking about right now could wind up being 12 you end up missing. It's hardly worth the cost. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and post this full article on the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page so everyone can refer to it. Awesome. And I think that's it for my health tips. Let's move on to... Wrong button. Let's try that again. Let's move on to...
Weird News.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Of course, I want to remind everybody that, yes, Rasita is turning 48 this year. Yes, she is returning 48 in 1 week from today.
Yeah, from today, next Sunday, I'll be just sitting around being lazy and having my birthday dinner with friends and just having a ball. It'll be cool.
And you'll be disinfecting those internal injuries.
Yeah, you bet.
Well, so my weird news is now Rusty did not know who this guy was.
I have no idea.
I don't know
if
anybody ever heard of him.
Well, you know, I didn't know his name, but I've seen his face in all of the videos about this subject you're going to talk about, but now I know his name. So.
And I figured that was the case because this guy was really famous, and it's really weird what he's famous for. Whatever happened to Takeru Kobayashi? He was the hot dog eating champion, little skinny Asian kid that could eat like 60 hot dogs in one sitting. Bun
that's
and all.
So nuts. Oh, my
isn't
God.
Isn't that amazing? Oh, my God. Andy Campbell, the Huffington Post, 7/5/14. Never mind that. That's just, this is where it gets to be a little funny. When it comes to competitive eating these days, Takeru Kobayashi is just a wiener.
Okay.
And his career is nothing to relish.
Oh, my gosh.
On July 4th, he watched legendary eater Joey Jaws Chestnut house 61 hot dogs and buns to defend his 8-year winning streak at the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. But he wasn't in Brooklyn to celebrate New York's greatest gluttony gala.
Yeah, that's the big one, isn't it? The Nathan's contest.
One.
That's
like
the big one.
Yeah, that's like the Olympics.
Yeah.
He was in Manhattan running his own unsanctioned hot dog eating contest at a bar.
Huh.
And he wasn't even eating the buns. It was like a scorned NFL player having a game of touch football while the Super Bowl airs on TV. Kobayashi has fallen from grace. His downfall began in 2010 when his contract dispute got the once-celebrated Kobe kicked out of Major League Eating. He was arrested at that year's hot dog eating contest when he stormed the big stage in Coney Island wearing a free Kobe T-shirt. They have contracts in this, and they're calling it a sport. They have
managers. Wow.
Isn't that amazing? He said, I was hoping because of the crowd, they would let me eat, he told the Brooklyn paper at the time. But to the people, Kobayashi had become a dull tummy ache that wouldn't go away. He's that one Japanese guy who used to eat all those hot dogs. It's sad, really. The man whose rise to glory brought with it several hot dog eating records and the world's undivided attention on July 4th is now failing at minor eating events held at art festivals. Wow. I think that's, I know. That goes through this whole timeline of when he was born and when he started eating and,
The hero has fallen, and now that I know his name, but I've seen his face in a lot of, because sometimes I just watch the Nathan hot dog eating contest because, you know, I like watching the ladies do it too. It just amazes me how much bun and hot dog they can shove down their gullets. And I used to laugh at it, but you literally have to train to do that because your body will try to go through the vomiting reflex of trying to get too much stuff out of your stomach. So that's a lot of willpower and a lot of training your body to get used to the fact that it's doing something that it's not meant to do or to hold down what it's not meant to hold down. So, you know, my hat's off to those guys and gals that do the eating contest, but wow. I just, you know, just hearing 60 hot dogs just kind of made me dry heave just a little. So All right.
Somebody has just posted a lineup for the Masters Hall of Fame on Facebook. Art Camacho,
oh, really?
Don Wilson, James Wilson, Cynthia Rothrock, Pete Morales, Bob Gomez, Ewart Chin, Harry Mock, Masters, Stephen A. Barbary, Mark Stoner, Lou Dwyer, Daniel Heck, David Commentoy, Derek Cardinal, Robert Parham, Robert Deal, Ed Parker Jr., Eric Lee. Then it names our guests actually tonight, which is like very cool. Gary
very
Lee from Texas, Master Ken, Karen Shepard, which I will be inducting this year. Jamie Cashin, Lisa King, and Bob White. And he says if he forgives anybody, he apologizes. I think he covered the important people. Actually, you guys are all important. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
so,
you can't list everybody. Yeah, let's move on to entertainment.
There'll be over 200 names there.
All right, and just before we get to entertainment news, we have someone calling from Skype. And if this, that might be the Magallanes family, I don't know. But please hang tight if that's you guys, the Magallanes family. Please hold on tight. We'll get to you right after we're done with this first segment. Or if it's somebody else, we'll get to that call after the first segment anyway. So hang tight, folks.
And if
we'll get
she is pronouncing
calls.
Your name wrong, please correct her and let us go on the right path of pronouncing your name correctly.
Yeah. I'm going with the double L thing, bro. I'm going with the double L sound, the yes sound. Okay, entertainment news. Let's go.
So for entertainment news, I did something a little bit different. I'm going after famous godparents.
Oh, cool.
Now,
okay.
Some you may know, most of you won't. Did you know that Dolly Parton is the godmother to Miley Cyrus?
No, I had no idea.
That's actually a known fact. Kate Moss is the godmother to Jude Law.
Oh, wow.
Drew Barrymore is the godmother to Courtney Love.
What?
Yeah.
Aren't they about the same age?
I thought so, too. That's what blew me away.
Oh, weird.
And this was all available on E! Online. Aretha Franklin was the godmother to the late Whitney Houston.
Mm, very cool.
Elizabeth Hurley is the godmother to Romeo and Brooklyn Beckham. That's David and Victoria Beckham's sons.
Mm-hmm.
Joan Collins is the godmother to Cara Delevingne. I think that's
Delevingne? Delevingne? Yeah, I don't know. So. It looks French.
Jamie Lee Curtis is godmother to Jake Gyllenhaal, which he just had a movie on, like, USA or something today. And it's funny, going back, Jake Gyllenhaal is the godfather to Matilda Ledger, the daughter of the late Heath Ledger.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Sophia Loren is the godmother to Drew Barrymore.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that a little weird?
Yeah,
well, because you know Drew Barrymore's grandfather was a very, very famous actor in the 1966, Sir John Barrymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the last one, Sir Elton John, is the godfather for the only child that John Lennon and Yoko Ono had together, and that is Sean Lennon.
Oh, wow. Right on. I had no idea about some of those. I mean, the only one I knew about was Aretha Franklin being the godmother to Whitney Houston. That was the only one I knew about, but had no idea about all the others. That's awesome. Very cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
That is. Well, before we take a break, let's go ahead and do the last part. It's time to go back into the Wayback Machine. So let's go ahead and turn the Wayback Machine on. And there we go. It's going to have to take us through several stops. I just want to kind of point out who was born this day in history. Our first stop goes to the year 1747. And that was when John Paul Jones, the famous naval hero of the American Revolution, was born. Born in 1910 on this day, July 6th, Dorothy Kirsten, who was a very famous opera singer, especially in the 20s, 30s. But in the 40s and 50s and even the early 60s, she started doing crossover into some of the popular music at the time. So she was one of the few opera singers that actually went crossover. Kind of cool. All right, Our next stop is 1921. It's the birthday of Nancy Reagan, the wife of former President Ronald Reagan. Next stop, 1927. Bill Haley was born on July 6, 1927, that rock and roll musician. And last stop in the Wayback Machine is 1935, and that's when the Dalai Lama, also known as Tenzin Gyatso, was born. And that's it for the time machine. Let's bring it back to the present time. All right. And let's go ahead and take a short four-minute break. And I just want to remind our listeners out there that our number here is 347-677-0699. Or if you are listening live on the Blog Talk Radio Show marquee, you can hit our chat board that is underneath the Blog Talk Radio Show marquee, not the marquee that you find on Facebook. Because if you start typing in Facebook, I'm not going to see it. So if you want to chat in the chat board there, if you have any questions for our upcoming guests, Anthony and Monique and Jasmine Magallanes, feel free to type in there or give us a call, 347-677-0699. All right, hang tight, folks. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, MMA fighter Jason Mayhem Miller here. School bullying and cyberbullying statistics are increasingly viewed as an important contributor to youth violence, including homicide and suicide. Let's kick bullying together. Go to WeareKickingIt.com.
This is Annie Lennox of Eurythmics, or RAD. Please don't drink and drive, and don't drive if someone else has been drinking. Thank you.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
This is Nnamdi Asamoah. I play football for the Philadelphia Eagles, but what I do off the field with United Way might be more important. I'm a volunteer tutor and mentor. Why? Because over a million kids a year drop out of school, and that's not okay. It takes 12 years to create a graduate, but it takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be me, or it could be you. Studies show that if we get to these kids earlier, their chances are better. And kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. So join me in United Way. Suit up and take the pledge. Become a volunteer reader, tutor, or mentor. Because when a child succeeds, we all succeed. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way, the Ad Council, and the National Football League.
This is Guru Rocky Twitchell of Citrus Heights, California, and you are listening to the Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio Show.
Hi, I'm Restita De Jesus.
And I'm Robert Deal.
We're the founders of the Seika Network on blogtalkradio.com.
And we've got some great events that we'd like to share with you.
On July 6th through the 11th, 2014, the International Tai Chi Chuan Symposium will present an exciting event where five Tai Chi Grandmasters, each representing the traditional Chen, Yang, Wu Hao, Wu, and Sun styles of Tai Chi, will share their knowledge and skills. Tai Chi practitioners from all levels, including beginners, will benefit from this opportunity to learn and practice directly with the Grandmasters. The five masters that will be teaching at this event are Chen Zhen Lei, Yang Jun, Zhang Zhen Chan, Ma Hai Long, and Sun Yong Tian. You don't even have to be an experienced Tai Chi practitioner to attend. Whether you're a health promotion planner, healthcare provider, personal trainer, martial artist, physical education instructor, or school administrator, all are welcome to attend. Don't miss this opportunity to train directly under the masters. For more information to register for Directly from the Source, just go to www.taichisymposium.com or you can email info@taichisymposium.com.
You're listening to the Dynamic Dojo Show with Restita and Robert, your source for martial arts talk radio.
All right, and we are back. If you're just now tuning in, this is Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio. I'm Restita, and I'm joined by Sifu Robert Deal, and
I gotta say something real fast, though.
What's that?
I'm really excited about today's show because you realize that we've never done this before. We've never had family on like this.
Oh, yeah, we've never we've had more than like three guests, but never one of them, never three guests of the same family. So I'm pretty excited about this too. So I would like to bring on the line the world champion family, the Magallanes family. They're recognized as one of the top ranking martial arts families in the world, folks. And altogether, they hold over 30 national and world titles, and they've all been named the best of the best martial artists by Tiger Claw and Disney Wide World of Sports. So please join me in welcoming to the show Anthony, Jasmine, and Monique Magallanes. How are you guys doing today?
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Hi,
hello.
Guys.
Hi.
Hi. How's everyone doing over there? This is the father, Anthony Magallanes. First of all, before we get anywhere, let's take care of the important stuff. Happy early birthday. I heard your birthday coming up on Friday.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's everyone on Facebook has been like, happy birthday. I'm like, it's not till next week. How are they finding this out? Oh, Facebook. Thank you
gotta
so
get the
much.
Jump on it.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Well, right on. So what we normally like to do on the show when we have any guest on is we kind of like to go way back. So I'm going to turn on the way back machine again. And I'd love to hear about how everyone got started in the martial arts, what arts that you all study and the whole nine yards. So who wants to go first?
Well, we got actually three phones. One of them's not working right now, so there's the five of us here, my wife and myself and my three children. So we're going to play hot potato with the phone. So who's going to go first?
I'll go first. This is Monique speaking.
Hi.
Hi. So actually, we got into martial arts because I started kindergarten, and I was really timid, and some of the kids at school were playing a little rough with me, and I didn't know how to handle it, so I started to cry. It was the first week of school. So after that, my mom told my dad that it was time for me to learn how to at least defend myself or get the confidence to play with the kids at school, even though they play a little bit rougher than usual. So that's how we all started, got into the martial arts, just to build up confidence.
Right on.
Yeah, this is Jasmine, by the way.
Hi, Jasmine.
Hi. Yeah, the way that we got started is, like as my sister said, she couldn't handle the roughness at school. So what my mom and dad like to do is try to treat us as equal as possible. So if Monique was going to do martial arts, I was saying, hey, let's pit everyone in martial arts and see how they like it. And at least, if anything, just gain some skills to defend ourselves. That is the main goal.
Mm-hmm. Right
awesome.
On.
This is Anthony speaking. Well, even before my sister started kindergarten, my dad introduced us, all three of us, in a very young age. Myself, I started as two. My dad would teach us basic punches and kicks and just to have a little fun. Then my mom did not really like us learning because she didn't want us three to be fighting each other and crying about it. So ever since my sister got played rough over it in kindergarten, then my mom gave my dad permission so he could teach us martial arts.
Oh, right on.
I had to have permission from the grandmaster of the family. So she gave me the green light and said, all right, after that, you're not getting them back. And that's pretty much how it went.
Now, this question is for Anthony Sr. So what arts were you already teaching before did the kids already know that you had done? I mean, I'm sure the kids already knew that you taught martial arts. But was it something that they were actually interested in or something that you and your wife actually thought about them studying before the whole roughness at school thing, or how did that work?
I myself, I've only taught my kids. So when me and my wife got married, my wife was actually had just started training in Kempo karate, so she knew a little bit about it. I had trained in a number of different arts, and when we had the kids, our first one was Monique, my first daughter, and my wife wanted her to play nice and, you know, was more into, was hoping that she would get into ballet or something like that. And I'm the type of the gymnastics, ballet, so I'm the type that, you know, whatever my kids need, I'm going to provide for them. And this is what, you know, parents should do. It's the own philosophy that we have. I'm really glad they didn't get into, like, ballet, because I would look really funny with a tutu trying to show them the moves. You know? So what happened is she wanted them to play nice, and she had her own home daycare also. So she taught them all, okay, everyone takes turns and things of that nature. But when you go to the public school, it's not like that anymore. So she was really against me teaching them. So I started to teach them, and she didn't want to because she want me to because she thought they were going to be fighting all the time within themselves with each other and stuff like that. But when that incident, after that incident happened, she saw my daughter crying. She called me. I was actually at work, and she told me, okay, it's time. They're yours. Go ahead and teach them. And that's when I told her at the job. I go, okay, but you're never going to get them back. And that's pretty
Right on. Very cool. And
it's been a wonderful journey. It's kept the family together. It's
yeah.
So we have three kids, and they're all took into it and put it in their heart. And so a lot of the other families we know, that they might have a child in football, they might have one in soccer. So the mother will take the one to the soccer field, or the father takes the one to the football field, and they have to split up like that. We've traveled, we've gone everywhere as a family, and especially their fight sets and stuff like that. It's kept the family really, really close, which is something that it's been beautiful for us as parents.
Very cool.
Now, are you the only instructor, Anthony?
No, I can't take credit for all their greatness. I wish I could, but I definitely can't. I've always been one to teach the kids to try and not let pride overtake you in any way. So, yeah, although they're my kids and I would like to, you know, I taught them everything. No, that's not the way it is. If I don't know something and they're interested in it, I don't know it. I'm first one to say, I can't teach you that, but if you want to learn that, we'll find someone that does know that, we'll send you down there. But for us, the martial arts was not, the goal was not to have the kids do all these fabulous things, which we've been blessed that they have been able to achieve. The goal was for me and my wife was to raise decent human beings. So when we looked for different places for them to learn different things, that was always the number one goal, was the character of the person that was training. And it didn't matter if it was a big school, small school, or someone teaching in the garage or the backyard. We wanted more. It takes a village to raise a family. So we wanted to surround the kids with wonderful people, and hopefully they would grow up in a decent way. And it's worked. It's worked for us.
Oh, very cool. Now, who's the youngest?
I'm the youngest, Anthony Jr.
Anthony, so tell me, or tell the listeners, tell all of us, what style of kung fu do you practice?
We practice multiple styles of kung fu, but we usually practice traditional kung fu and contemporary wushu.
Oh, cool. Woohoo! Oh, sorry. I teach wushu here in Seattle, so I gotta like go, reppin' first wushu.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Rusty, weren't you on the USA Wushu team?
I was never on the wushu team.
Oh wait. Were you asking me or Anthony?
I was talking to you.
Oh,
to
I'm sorry.
Oh. You know, I was on the USA Tai Chi Chuan team when I went to China to compete, and I was vying for a spot on the U.S. Wushu team, but that's when I injured my back, and that's where everything just fell down the tubes from there. But you know, that was like 20 something years ago, so oh well.
Yeah,
that's cool. That's really cool.
It was pretty cool.
Monique, let me talk to Monique for a second. What?
Okay.
What interests you about martial arts? What do you like about it?
Pretty much everything, from the movements to the philosophy of martial arts, how to conduct yourself, how to carry yourself as a person, how to have control over not only your body but your mind, and just even the physical part, like doing different movements you think you can never do, and then when you finally achieve it, it feels amazing. That's what I love. Just the whole martial arts world, I get excited every time I talk about it with different people. I just love everything about it.
Very
wow,
cool.
That is amazing. And
that
remember,
is.
Just because your dad's here, don't say things that he wants to hear. You can tell
That's it, you're grounded.
Wrong
answer. Wrong answer, no phone call for you. yeah.
Now, any of you can answer this, have you been caught up in a tough situation that you had to use your martial arts either internally thinking or physically get out of the situation?
This is Jasmine. I've so far physically never used my martial arts against anyone, which I'm thankful. I don't know. I like knowing how to defend myself, but again, I was taught not to go over punching people. I try to be friends, and if I can walk away, I'll definitely walk away. But if I need to use it, I will. So physically, I never used it, but mentally, martial arts has been with me. It taught me so many things, like to keep going, never give up. If you don't meet your standards, if you feel like you failed, you can always just go back up and try it again. You kind of reflect back on, oops, I didn't do that right. Let's try it again. Even in life, like if you fail a test, study harder, go harder. So I like a lot of life lessons that it teaches you, and that's what I really took from the martial arts, and it really just put a positive spin onto my life.
Mm-hmm.
That is so cool. Now, you guys have the fortune of actually working out together, which most don't have. Most will have maybe a brother or maybe nobody, but you guys can work out together, train, work on sets together, form. Do you find that really helpful in your martial arts journey?
Yeah, it's very helpful, especially I'm the youngest of the three, so I was seeing my two older sisters increase in skill when I was small, like 5-6 years old. I was still trying to get coordinated and everything. So as I saw my older sisters get better, I said to myself, hey, I don't want them to leave me, especially when they go to tournaments. They have trophies taller than them, and I have this little small one. I always wanted a big trophy, so in the backyard, I always train harder, and they always help me along the way.
Right.
Wow.
On.
We can't get rid of each other, quite honestly. But it's really cool. Like, I've learned a lot from my sister and my brother. Like, my sister, she's such a perfectionist. So when we were younger, she'd be outside just getting all the techniques right, and me and my brother would just be playing with Barbies and cars, just like, oh, what is she doing? But then we've seen her excel really fast, and we're like, what? We're not going to get left behind. So I learned that from my sister, just to keep practicing and push. So she really, in my early stages in the martial arts, she really helped push me through. And then my brother, even though he's younger, my dad used to tell us, he used to say, hey, you know, your brother's going to catch up to you one day. And I used to, me and my sister used to laugh, like, ah, he's so small, what? And then one day he grew taller than me and he got some muscle, was like, what? Where'd you come from? I got to train harder.
What'd you do with my brother? I mean, why do you have facial hair now? What's going on?
I know, yeah. Got mustache and everything.
That's awesome. Now, all three of you guys study not only the Chinese arts, traditional Kung Fu and Wushu, but you guys also have studied Muay Thai, Kajikenbo, one of my other favorite arts, and Krav Maga. Can you three tell our listeners a little bit about your training and your teachers in those particular martial arts?
So, first off, my dad, he taught us to try to be as well-rounded as possible. So we did our kung fu. We did traditional kung fu, and we trained under Grandmaster Vince Lacey and Sifu Shane Lacey.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. And then from there, we got into wushu, and we had a number of masters such as Sifu Ding Wei and Sifu Hannah Gao Chao. And so we're like, okay, we got the kung fu side. Let's venture off to other martial arts. And that's what I like about martial arts. There's never an end. You can always learn something new. That's what I love about it. So we end up training in Muay Thai under our instructors, Barry and Raymond. And it was really cool. It was so different. We had to completely kind of forget all our kung fu basics and relearn again.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really cool. We had a different aspect. And then for Kaju Kimbo, we trained under Sifu Bob Gomez.
Awesome.
And Grandmaster Pete Morales came over to train with us, and it was just incredible. It was such a new experience. Even though martial arts, there's so many different styles, so many different ways to throw a roundhouse kick. One style isn't the same as all of them, so it's really interesting. And when you start learning other styles, you kind of put everything together. You say, okay, this one I liked from this style. I was very comfortable with this one. So you kind of start making your own style. So that's what I personally really liked about learning other styles.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Now, where in the Bay Area do you guys live? Do you live in San Francisco proper?
We live in Fremont, which is in between San Jose and Oakland.
One of our good friends lives up there. Robert Parm is a kickboxing instructor up there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Very, very good friend. So when there comes to be a time for competition between the siblings, it sounds like it's always been a really friendly rivalry.
Yeah, we've been very lucky that way. Once again, I think as the kids were talking, they were alluding to. They've helped each other. And one thing as a father, and I know my wife appreciates it, when they were going to tournaments, Jasmine's our middle child. So depending on the age group, she was normally either competing against her older sister, or if her older sister moved up, she would be competing against her younger brother because he moved up also. She was always competing against someone in the family. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of tore our heart because, you want both of them, you cheer for both of them, only one of them is going to get first place. But what was wonderful and what was for parents to see is when they were in the backyard training and they knew that they were even going to compete against each other, when they saw one was doing something wrong, they would help that one develop that move correctly or give them different ideas to do something, even though they know that what I just gave them could be what the difference of them beating me. So that they were able to put that aside, which is really mature of them, especially at that young age. And that's what we try to instill in them. It's not the trophy. It's what you learn to get there.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing because you don't meet very many siblings in the martial arts or any other sport for that matter that do that. A lot of families, whether they be sisters or brother sisters or just brothers, they'll compete and they'll take their second place or third place or whatever and their first place. But to be able to help each other through that, even though they know they're going to be competing in the same division together, that is very mature. And that's so refreshing to hear. I'm over here just grinning away. I'm like, that's awesome.
let me give you an example. One time they were competing, the first year we went to the NBL, National Black Belt League. We were competing in their tournament. That's the first time we had competed in that tournament, and it was totally different than what we were used to competing in the Wushu and things of that nature. The way they run the system and everything, we were just lost. They were on Team International, Master Steve Cooper's team and Mo Ota.
Oh, cool.
So we were competing, and they had brought us into the National Black Belt League, and they run that totally different. The first year, both girls made it on stage along with Anthony, and both girls went ahead and won grand champions in the different divisions. Anthony was up competing against Jasmine, and Jasmine wanted to make sure that he didn't get left behind, so she came crying to me. Master Steve Cooper brought her to me. He was in the back with her, and he goes, "We got a problem." And I thought she got hurt or something. I go, "Well, what happened? You were in the back. What'd you do, slip and fall or something?" My goodness.
Mm-hmm.
So she was crying. She goes, "No." She goes, "Me and Monique already won." She goes, "I want to make sure Anthony wins." She goes, "I want to bow out just so that her brother could win." I said, and I looked at her and I appreciate the love you have for your brother, but he has to win it. It's not going to mean nothing unless he wins it. So when you go up there, you have to do the best you can.
Right.
So, And after he left us, Master Steve Cooper looked at me and basically told me, you know, he had a feeling she was going to do something like that because he knows the kids.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the love they have for each other. That's the love they have for each other.
Wow.
That's so cool.
After
that
all
awesome.
Of them were able to. Fortunately, all of them were able to win an NBL, and they've all kept each other close to each other. It's a close family, and once again, that was the goal of me and my wife. All these wonderful things that have opportunities that we've been able to have is icing on the cake. But
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day, when I'm coming home from work, this is my family. I want to. Like to come home. I want to to talk to them. And if they're a bunch of people that are just into themselves and want me,
mm-hmm.
that's not very fun for me.
Right.
So I have the
benefit
of, when I come home, this is my favorite place. The people in this room that I'm looking at right now, they're the favorite people that I like to be with. I love my family.
That's so awesome. I'm getting a little teary-eyed here,
Anthony.
Oh,
no, yes. Happy birthday.
I know, right? Oh, you guys. Now, wow, I mean, three family members winning in the same NBL grants. That's rare. I mean, I was competing in NBL for a long time, and that's rare. I mean, maybe you get two. You know?
Yeah, that's
you know.
What we get. A lot of people come up and tell us that. They say, you know what? There's different families in there, and they have their children in there, and we've been told, my wife and I, you know, we see other families, they have two, maybe three, but usually about two, and there's usually one where you can say, oh, that one's good, and that one's not quite at the skill that one is, but they say when your kid's up there, we never know who's going to win.
They're
competing against each other. Sometimes Monique might take it, sometimes Jasmine, or sometimes Anthony Jr., and we never know who's going to win. It's the battle of your families.
That's so cool. Now, do you all so you guys competed in Wushu? Were you guys in the USAWKF as well?
No. Mainly for the Wushu, it was over here at Berkeley.
The CNAT
tournament.
Mm-hmm. You know, I wonder if I'm gonna have to check back because the last time I went to CMAT was I don't know maybe about. 3 or 4 years ago. It's been a while since I've been judging at CMAT, but one of these days I would love to go to CMAT and see you guys compete.
for the Wushu, we were really hoping that it was going to make the Olympics when it was in China.
And
for a while it looked like it was, and the kids had a really good chance of making the team and going down there, and it was going to be a big expense for us, but you know, it's the Olympics, you know, you go for it.
When it
didn't make it, but it was going to still be an exhibition sport and perform at the same time with the Olympics, and they were going to get the Olympic medals, I guess. But it wasn't going to be part of the Olympics. We decided not to at that point. And that's when we got picked up by Team International, who ended up sponsoring the kids, and they introduced us to like the NBL, and which was really good because it opened up a whole new world to us. And we learned a lot from competing against the different styles and different people we had not been accustomed to yet.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah, I was really disappointed about the whole Wushu thing, too.
Yeah.
hang our heads. Okay. But, yeah, that's so awesome that you guys are doing so well in the NBL. That's awesome. All right, I'm going to hand the mic over to Bob because I was kind of hogging it there. Steve, Bob, all
That's
yours.
Okay. And I was going to ask you, you wrote down all these questions. Did you notice I haven't raised your notes yet?
I
just started firing off questions.
Yeah, just start firing off,
I didn't even work yet.
Start firing off.
It was great.
Yeah.
let's see. Who do I want to? Jasmine, what do you think what do you think or what do you find the hardest part of your martial arts training? What is the easiest?
Oh, the hardest part and what's the easiest? Ooh, good question. Well, if I go back on the throwback machine, the hardest part,
oh, here
believe it or not. There you go.
Going way back. We're going to the archives now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
the hardest part back then, believe it or not, was me smiling. I used to smile so much, and my dad would get on me. I couldn't like, we would be training in the backyard, and he'd say, okay, come up, bow. I have a big old smile on my face, and he'd yell. He'd go, get back over there. And I'm like, wait, what? And then I was like, he'd say, no, try it again. And I still smile. He goes, no, get back. And then finally I was so frustrated that I was so mad. I had my mad face on. I bowed. I walked in the ring. He's like, perfect. And then I smiled because I was like, yes, I did it. And then I was like, no. So for the longest time, I had to learn the little on and off switch when to smile or not.
Right.
And I look back. I'm like, man, I used to get in trouble for smiling. But, I mean, as far as what's hard, I would say, like, when you first get a new body movement, it could be kind of hard. Or just, like, learning how to land, like, jump kicks and jump splits. Like, that fear, that first initial fear, I would say is scary. I'm not going to lie. It's kind of scary. Like, what? You want me to do a jump kick into the splits? How do you do that? So, but you do the building blocks. You go, okay, let's start like this, and you just ease your way into going to the harder things. So the hardest thing I say is that first initial fear, but after you go for it, it's a lot easier.
Very cool.
I would say the easiest thing in martial arts is the outcome of your work. After you do everything, you practice. When they say, the next world champion is Jasmine Magalhães, you're like, woo! I say that's like, yeah, and then I smile. Yes, I can smile again.
You can smile now.
I know.
Right on.
Oh, that's too funny.
That is.
So I want, how old are you guys? What are your ages?
Jasmine is 20. Monique is 22.
And Anthony is 18.
Right on.
Wow, I thought you were going to say 10, 12, and 14. I didn't realize you guys were over your teens.
That's awesome.
You're old now.
Hello.
Yeah, you're old. Now, when you guys do compete in – now, you guys are primarily competing in the NBL, correct, right now?
Okay, last couple of years, they went out of high school, so they had to go to college. So with their college studies and stuff like that, we haven't competed. What's it been now? Maybe about 2 years, something like that. So we took a break, and mainly what they've done is demos when we get called for demonstrations. Like, for example, Master Andrew Finelli invited them to perform for the End of the Dragon reunion, which was really cool.
Oh,
So yeah, they came down. They picked them up in the limousine. They got to ride with the limousine. You know, that's when Bob Wall, John Saxon, Jim Kelly, Bull Young, they got to perform in front of them. They got the night before. You know, we got to eat with them and at the barbecue at Master Finelli's house, and which actually he's a really good barbecuer, by the way. So things like that. Mainly. Recently, it's been more the demos, right?
Yeah, just
performances.
Okay. Performances.
Very cool. But when you guys were competing, what were each of your preferred styles? Was it like more along the lines of traditional kung fu, wushu, a mix of both, a mix of kajikembo and something else, like open style? I mean, what did you guys prefer when competing?
Whenever we compete, or when I compete, I prefer...
Okay, let's start with you, Anthony. What did you prefer?
Oh, okay.
Go ahead, take the mic.
I don't know if I would be the speaker of the family or not. Well, when I compete, I like to compete in traditional kung fu and contemporary wushu. And
cool.
I prefer open weapons over hand
cool.
forms. Just because I'm holding a weapon and it's so cool.
Yeah, right? Well, I saw one of the pictures with you. I can't really tell, but it looks like you're holding a nandao. So, you know, I had to ask. I'm like, I have to ask Anthony, So what do you like better, nantuan or tongue twin? Do you like long fist or southern fist?
Nantuan. Southern fist.
Yeah, that's mine.
Yeah. I'm more of a southern.
Yeah,
okay,
southern
okay.
all the way.
Everyone
I'm a southern fist. So all of you guys like nantuan, right?
Oh, no, no,
no. Somebody likes the Tonguan.
I've done Tonguan. I like it, but I'm sorry. I'm a Tonguan.
Oh, you're a Longfist girl. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. And that's and it's tough in the NBL because, I mean, granted, there's more and more people bringing in the contemporary Chinese movements into the NBL, but when I was competing, it was rare. In fact, when I was competing in the Pacific Conference, I was one of the only people that was actually doing wushu in the NBL, and people didn't quite know at the time how to judge it, you know, because I'm standing in front of, like, a bunch of white geese, you know what I mean? And I'm like, oh, man, what am I doing?
Yeah, that's exactly how we felt the first time we went. Once again, it was totally new to us. The NBL is ran different than the Chinese, as you know, martial arts tournament. So we come in, everyone's either in a black gi or white gi, and we come in, and they're looking at us like we're in funny-looking pajamas, right? You know, so we got different colors and everything else. But as far as the wushu, as far as the number of categories the kids were actually able to compete in, it was very limited. So, and also for the karate and taekwondo, the rings are much smaller than the wushu. So when we would go out, we'd be asking for two rings to put them together. And they always kind of held everybody up, and they're looking at us like, come on, why we got to do this for you? You're the only one that's competing. And the first time we went in to the NBL, we kind of went in as a what do they call it?
Underdogs.
Well, not only underdogs, but we hadn't placed, so we hadn't been to a lot of
We didn't get a good seat because we started the tournament late.
Yeah, so,
our points weren't up as high, so we all had to compete as a first competitor.
As wild cards.
They
came in as wild cards, and that's what was amazing. They all came in as wild cards, but all of them made it to stage. Oh, and that everyone was all, wow, where you guys, who are you? And what was a funny story is the very first year we went to the NBL, they were on stage. The only person that we had talked to, what was it, the security guard? The security guard was from the Bay Area. And so he found out we were from the Bay Area. So he goes, okay, I'll cheer for you guys when you're up there. So my wife was cheering, I was cheering, and the security guard was cheering. And other than that, we had crickets because no one knew who we were.
But after that, Boyce
Liddell's saw that, you know, hey, this is something totally new as far as what the kids were doing, because for the NBL, most of the weapons were the commas or the bow and the nunchucks. And when the kids went in, they were doing, I don't know, you guys were doing like 9 to 13 weapons just out of this family. So I went, my God, what are all these weapons? They never saw it before. And so they actually welcomed it. And the next year, they made sure that there was going to be mats for the wushu, and we understood that.
Cool.
They made it very accommodating for us the next couple of years.
That's very cool you guys were competing, how long ago were you, when did you first start, what year did you first start competing with the contemporary stuff in the NBL?
2008, yeah.
Oh, wow, and it was still new. Wow. Because I was competing in 94, and it was like you said, crickets. It was like this.
That sounds too familiar.
Yeah, right.
Actually, they didn't even call it. Even now, they don't think they call it wushu. They call it soft. Oh, we're soft.
Soft,
style.
Yeah, soft open. Yeah. Soft open.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm just surprised that it's still considered like quote unquote soft open.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
From 2008 and stuff. But I mean, I guess it falls in. It falls into that. Open, soft open. Oh, wow. Okay, Bob, back to you, buddy. I'm off.
I was sitting here texting. Never mind.
Oh.
I know you love that.
Is he playing with the crickets?
I am. Now, tell me, start off with Monique. I think I started off with Jasmine a couple times. Mm-hmm. When coming into the Madness Hall of Fame, because, you know, now You're 4 weeks away from an exciting event. You're going to drive down from the Bay Area. Tell me, what were you nominated for? Or what were you inducted in the Madness Hall of Fame? What category?
Under the leadership category.
Cool. So very cool. Now, how about the other two? Anthony, Jasmine, were you also under leadership on the Academy
they're
Masters?
Both the same.
Oh, very cool. Because they changed it where you had to be in, you had to be over 35 to be inducted into the Masters. That is so cool. And I think that's a very deserving category for you as leadership. You've already displayed that here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, what's neat about the Masters for us is the kids being part of Team International, which is where the Masters Hall of Fame is going to be at. They actually used to perform there as one of the shows for the Masters. So we'd be out there. I'd be up on stage,
wow,
pounding mats, putting the mats on with one of the other fathers. We'd be all dusty and everything like that. And the kids would be walking in, performing, and everyone else would be in tuxedos and evening gowns. I'd be the dustiest person there. But so they would go ahead and perform. Then after that, we'd walk out and then continue to compete downstairs in the tournaments. So this is going to be the first time we're actually going to be on the flip side. We get to walk in and we get to enjoy a dinner.
Yeah, and wear evening gowns and tuxedos.
There you go.
Yeah, that's what are you looking forward to?
Did you guys actually perform at the 2009?
When was the last time you guys performed? You guys did, what, two times, right?
Yeah.
2007,
2008. Was it
2008?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2007
and 2008.
Around there.
Yeah. We might have the year wrong, but it's somewhere around there. It was.
Oh, okay, because I was inducted in 08. We were actually at the Internationals in 09.
Oh, wow.
All the times that you did perform, it was right there in Long Beach, right? One time it was with Master O'Neill, right?
Right.
For the Lion Man. The other time it was for Tiger Claw,
right?
Uh-huh. Right? And was there a third time?
No,
two
just
times.
Two times.
Yeah. Two times.
And why aren't you guys in the Tiger Claw catalog?
They have been, actually. They have.
They have been,
Marlene.
Really? Oh,
yeah. Not in the recent one. Not
oh, okay.
They're too old now.
Oh, really? You know, I'm going to have to – I still keep all of my Tiger Claw catalogs over at my gym, so I'm going to have to, like, look through and go, where are they? That's awesome. Oh, my gosh. Now, all of you had studied Muay Thai as well, correct? Have any of you done any ring fights?
This is Anthony speaking. I only did one ring fight against my trainer, but other than that, no competitions or anything for the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And
the reason why is because we had a pack with my mom, like a deal. She told my dad, she's like, okay, you guys can do the martial arts, but I don't want them to compete in sparring, because she didn't want to see us punching other people and things of that nature. She didn't want that. So even though, like, we would still fight, like, during training and stuff. Like, we know we fight during training, but as far as competitions, that was their little pack.
Oh, the pack of don't wreck your faces, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's understandable.
Yeah, where that came from is that Jasmine started wanting to go to the MMA part of it.
Oh,
and, so she wanted me to start training her and for the MMA part of it, and that's where my wife thought, I don't know. So I said, well, okay, let's put them in the Muay Thai. They can go ahead and do that and get a taste of it. And so that's where they went into the Muay Thai.
Right on. Very
so
cool.
What positions did you guys perform in? Forms, two-man sets, musical forms. What did you guys do?
We did open forms. We did musical forms. We did fight sets. We did team forms with us three. We did traditional forms, contemporary forms, traditional weapons, contemporary weapons. Open any kung fu event we did.
Wow. That covers half of the divisions in an NBL roster.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, one of the neat things about it, they were on Team International, okay, Master Steve Cooper's Team International, and how many members, Monique? Monique was co-captain of the team at the time. What do you have, like up to 20, like that? Up to 20 members. But once again, the NBL only had limited number of divisions for the kids for the soft division. So there was only a few divisions they could go. But these three kids were pulling in 45% to 50% of the gold medals for the team. And while they were on the team, they definitely helped the team become, it was the top competing team, international competing team for those 3 years that you guys, was it 3 years you were on it?
Three.
3 years that you guys were on it. So, yeah, even though they only had a limited number of divisions to go, they were quite successful in the divisions that they were in.
That's awesome.
So who's coming down to the Masters this year? Everybody, is your mom going to come down?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. My mom got her dress ready. You know, the funny thing is she got her dress before mine.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Very cool. Now, I've got a this is kind of like a trivial question, but I'm curious though. Weapons. What are your favorites?
Oh, my favorite. Okay, this is Monique. My favorite weapon is the Southern Broadsword. Oh, I love that weapon.
Nice.
That one, and then my second favorite is the Southern Staff. So I'm a Southern girl. My third favorite weapon is actually the fan. So that's pretty much it's different because I don't have to be so hard all the time. So I think that's why I balance it out that way.
Now, are you doing more of a wushu fan, or did you learn the that wushu tai chi combination form?
Wushu fan.
Oh, sweet! Awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. Right on. All right. Who's next? Jasmine. What about you?
When are you guys kind of come down? Friday? I mean, Friday morning or afternoon, or when are you guys coming down?
You know, we're still debating on that. We might be down as soon as maybe, probably Friday morning. Yeah, probably Friday morning.
Oh.
We'll be down there.
Very cool.
Very cool. Yeah. Well, who did we leave off with weapons.
This is Jasmine. My favorite weapon, see, I'm more of a northern wushu.
That's cool.
I like straight sword and broad sword.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, I like the swords, and I also like three sectionals, three section staff.
Oh, cool.
Those are like my three amigos right there.
Right on.
Very nice.
Love it. What about
Anthony? For me, my favorite weapon is the bullwhip. Because I just like making loud noises and stuff, getting all the attention.
Wait, I did see a video of you doing bullwhip, and I couldn't tell from the video because I was watching off of my phone. But where did you get that? It was it looked like a white bullwhip. It looked white. I don't know.
Yeah, actually. I just asked my father, oh, Dad, I need a bullwhip because I want to learn. And then he went out, he researched it, so I don't know where he got that from.
That's very cool. I'm a bullwhip fiend. I love bullwhip, and I've got a bullwhip group out here in Seattle. So if you ever come out here to Seattle, look me up and bring your bullwhip.
Oh, okay. I'll bring it.
Right on. Very cool. Or maybe even bring it to the Masters. We'll have to meet on Friday and, like, crack a whip or something.
That would be really
cool. Kidding. I don't even know how to get it in my luggage.
Oh, and I know. Are you guys going to do the seminars on Saturday?
Yeah, we're not sure. Originally, we were asked by Master Steve Cooper, I was asked to go ahead and put the performance for the next day for Team International, but I'm not sure that's still going to happen or if he's going to want us to do that. So we're kind of up in the air as far as the next day, what we're going to be doing.
Okay. Very cool.
Very cool. Now, I'm also curious, other than the martial arts, which is a big part of your lives, what are some other activities that you guys enjoy?
I like singing. I sing all the time. In fact, I'm working with Art Camacho on a music video that will be coming out.
Oh,
yes.
Right on.
I like singing, so that's my other passion. And I also like gymnastics when I can. I like to try to catch up to my brother with his crazy flipping. Like, hey, I got this. Help me. But, yeah, so those would be my two other hobbies.
Very cool.
Oh, and my hobby, I like to play the piano. It's so relaxing.
Wow, very cool.
I just hear the notes and stuff. I don't know. That's what I, like, calm down and just relax my body from the stressful world. So that's
very
my other activity.
And mine, I like to backup sing for my sister. I'd rather be a backup.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But she's a lot better than me, so but I still backup sing for her and do the little voiceovers and help her with some other things that, because she has a better range than me, singing range than me. So I just help her with that, and it's fun.
That is cool. You know, I hope to someday in the future hear that there's a CD coming out. I'm all over here nodding, and maybe Art can get you started on that. That's awesome. Well, I just want to remind our listeners that might be listening live here on Blog Talk Radio, our guest call-in number here is 347-677-0699. So if you have any questions for this very talented family and would like to speak directly to Anthony Jasmine and Monique and Anthony Sr., please feel free to call in, 347-677-0699. Or you can get on our chat board underneath the Blog Talk Radio show marquee. If you're listening live on Blog Talk Radio, please don't type under the Facebook marquee because I won't see it. All right, I'm going to hand the mic over to Bob for a little bit, who's probably got some more questions.
This happens so seldom because she usually doesn't recognize me. Last week, my wife went and got me dinner, and I ate it before I could get a word in edgewise. I just put my phone on mute and said, "The heck with it. I'm done."
Well, and that's why I'm going to give you the mic.
Well, because, you know, they do wushu, and then Anthony mentioned bullwhip, and I went, I'm gone. I'm not going to do this anymore. Once the bullwhip came up, I was done.
No, because we have to get on with the rest of the show, so the mic is yours.
Well,
the mic is
now,
yours.
What are your differences as a family? And the similarities when it comes to martial arts, because obviously you've all studied the same, but and you like some different things. You like different weapons. One's long fist. One's more close range. But what are your main differences? And do you compete? How am I going to word this? Do you think things are wrong in somebody else's form? Do you try to correct each other, or is it more of a nurturing relationship?
I think we all have different strengths. We definitely do. So we try to teach each other. Like if I see Monique or Anthony performing and I say, like maybe this should be like this, I go and show them. I don't hold back with teaching my sister. Like my sister when I was smaller, she'd always get on me with the crane stand. She's like, "Why isn't your foot pointed?" That was like her biggest pet peeve. So she'd come up to me all mad, like, look at that ugly foot. You should point it. yeah, like we teach each other. We do have a lot of differences. We do like different weapons, and because of that diversity that we have, we teach each other, and if I need help, if I say, "Hey, I feel kind of funny in this position, but when you do it, it looks really cool. What am I doing it wrong?" We'll go up to each other. So if we see each other practicing, or if an idea pops up, like, "Hey, that'd be cool. Do that move and do this move." Oh yeah, we teach each other.
Oh, that is so cool. Now, senior, that must have been, well, most parents, it would have been really interesting when you talked over who was going to do what chores and watch them all get in fighting stance. Yeah, you're doing dishes.
That's why I call my wife and say, "Make them do it."
Well,
that's
now,
awesome.
Did they ever do that with you? Because my son took an on-guard stance with me one time.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, no, right now I'm looking at them, and all of them are still alive. No, none of them have taken the guard stance against me yet.
Well, you know that the male has popped out about 16, and they think they're tougher than dad.
Yeah, he's like going on 19, so we got lucky like that. Yeah, no, that was always a consideration. That was always a consideration. Up till now, we've talked about the martial arts and things like of that nature, the physical aspect. But what me and my wife have tried to do is try to make them extremely well-rounded, both mental, physically, spiritually. So there's a lot more to them than just the martial arts. As far as their thinking and their maturity level, for young adults their age, they're extremely mature in how they're thinking. All of them got beautiful hearts. I really wish the best for them as they go out into the world. I know they're going to do their best to try and make the world a little bit better than what they entered it in. So as far as who they are, we've been very lucky. Their chest hasn't popped out and try to challenge mom and dad. If anything, they protect us.
Wow, that's amazing, because the only thing I thought of when my hands went up was, I'm about to knock $5,000 worth of braces down his throat.
Right? You're like, did you really? Yeah, and you're like, did you really take a guard stance against me? Really? What are you thinking? Yeah, it's weird.
It was, and you've met my son. He doesn't seem like that kind of kid, but, you know, because every son does. Now, my father was 6'6", and I'm only 5'8", so I never did that to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We raised our kids old-fashioned. So as far as respect, not only for my wife and myself, respect for the grandparents, respect for uncles and, mm-hmm. and aunts, respect for all your elders, respect
wow.
for yourself, respect your brother and sister. If anything, they know their roles as far as protecting each other and
mm-hmm.
things of that nature. So that was instilled early on, and that was instilled purposely, because once again, the main concern my wife had initially is that they were going to be fighting each other. And
right.
What I would always explain to them, okay, what I'm teaching you now, or what you're learning at this particular with this particular master now, is this. And what we would tell them, or what I would tell them, is that if you guys start using this in a negative way against people in school or each other, or you start disrespecting your mother, your training stops now. And when
mm-hmm.
that doesn't mean that you're not going to the tournaments with us. That means you go and you help us carry the weapons for the other two, and while the other two are performing, you're sitting in between me and your mother watching.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a big incentive for them not to pop their chest out and try and take the leadership role of the family or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. That is wow. And things have changed. That is so great that you say something like that, Anthony. That,
mm-hmm.
that you can say that about your kids, that they were really respectful, and we can tell. That's the thing.
Yeah.
We can tell how they are, even though they're older than teenagers now. We can really tell how they are towards people, and they had better when they get to the Masters and they're at that dinner. They better search us out. Say hello. Absolutely.
Yeah, look us up. Look us up. We'd love to meet you guys in person. Definitely.
Well, that's wonderful. Yeah,
that's
we would
awesome.
Definitely love to meet you also. I mean, especially, we said early happy birthday, and we'll say belated happy birthday.
Aww.
Aww. Oh, and by the way, and this is only speaking to senior, because you're not old enough yet, but the guest that we have on our show has to buy us a drink.
Wait a minute, Monique's old enough. Monique's old enough.
Oh.
Right on. Very cool. Now, I've forgotten, was it Monique or Jasmine, or was it both of you gals that had the tough time in school? Was it both of you? Or
It was my sister Monique.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
so Monique, back in kindergarten, people, when people were playing too hard or whatever, then you started doing martial arts. How do you feel the martial arts had helped rectify that? I mean, was it that they learned that you did martial arts and they just stopped messing with you and playing too hard, or was it, you know, just was it the confidence level? How do you
feel?
Yeah,
my confidence level went up, and because I was really shy, I wouldn't really talk to anybody. So through the martial arts, it taught me, like, okay, you could go talk to people, and people will actually talk to you back. But, yeah, it has brought up my confidence in saying, okay, well, you could listen to me, and you need to respect my feelings, what I want, because I respect you as well. Mm-hmm. So after that incident, I got also more comfortable with the environment and everything. But, martial arts really boosted up my confidence in a really positive way.
Very cool. Now, are any of you teaching right now, or do you guys want to be teachers, or how is that?
Yeah, we all taught. We have taught different at different schools, in different schools, and from ages, like, as young as 4 and on up. We have taught even other martial artists. We trade ideas and just, like, have fun and teach, just open up our minds and open up our, like, how would you say it? Just, like, different experiences and how to improve not only our martial arts skills, but also everyone else's, and also different concepts and different thinking and different ideas. So we have taught in that aspect also.
Very cool. Awesome. Bob, back to you.
Anthony, I do that to all our guests. You know, I'm only kidding. But one of these days they're going to say yes. I've gotten 2 books out of it. I tell authors, you got to give us a book now, you're on our show. And I've just done it. I've been kidding the whole time. So about the drink, forget about it. See, now I'm really kidding about forgetting about the drink. Don't forget about the drink. Remember, I'm just disinfecting all my internal injuries.
That's right.
Now let's go senior for a second, Anthony. What? Because you started the kids. You start training. What martial arts have you studied?
Okay. Now we're going back to the Wayback Machine. Okay. initially, it was Taekwondo. Then I went to Shotokan Karate. Then I went back to Taekwondo. Did some Judo, boxing, toilet foot. Did some Krav Maga, and a little bit of wrestling. So a little bit well-rounded, I would say.
Very. Who are your teachers, or do you remember?
I can remember some of them. the California Karate Academy, Hanshi Jim Mather was a Shotokan Karate. As far as Taekwondo, my first Taekwondo teacher, I don't remember his name, and I was lucky to get in there. My path was, I have an older brother and sister, and my parents were going to put them into this Taekwondo class, and the instructor said, okay, and then he pointed at me, and he goes, what about him? And my mother didn't have enough money for me. So she goes, well, I don't have enough money for him. She goes, well, I tell you what, if you put them two in, he can train for free. So I was able, I got a free pass on at that point, and it was only a summer-type deal, or probably a little bit longer than a summer-type deal, but less than a year. Then, you know, the funds ran out for the family to continue that activity, but I was hooked. So after that, once I was able to generate my own income, that's when I got back into it, training at different other different places.
Oh, very cool. So what path, as that kind of, as coming up in those kind of arts, what path did you start the kids on? What did you start teaching them?
What did I start teaching? My strongest was probably more the karate style, which is different than what they are, and it really made them more well-rounded, because when we started going to, like, for the example, the MBL and the Tiger Claw tournaments along with Disney and stuff like that, that really opened it up, because when we were strictly, with the kids competing strictly in the Wushu tournament, as you know, the Wushu is very structured, and they want it in a certain way. And when we got more, when we started competing more in the open styles, and we could do anything we wanted, then that's when we really started mixing everything together. And that's when our creativity really, really ran wild. And we had a lot, of fun being creative, coming up with different things, different fight sets, different techniques, different everything else. I mean, that's made it really, really enjoyable for us, being creative.
Very cool. Monique, how was it when you guys were competing? Were you, because I know how the martial arts are. There's something every weekend for as long as you want it to be. Did you guys go to tournaments every single week to compete?
Sometimes it seems like it. Well, because the thing is that it seems like we're always preparing. My father has said, okay, just prepare and be ready. Sometimes my dad said, okay, we have a tournament this next weekend. Are you ready? And we would have to be ready on the spot. But it was pretty much every weekend we were in the backyard practicing, and especially during the summer when we're all out of school. Those were hard training times. We would be training from morning to night around 1, possibly 2 o'clock in the morning at the latest. And then we would have to go to our studio and practice there more. But it was fun, but it was just long hours. But it was well worth it. I say if we got paid for all those hours, man, we'd be rich. No, yeah, we used to train a lot, especially over the summer. And I'd be looking outside like, man, is there a world out there, or is every day the same? Because we'd train out there, and then on the dinner table, my dad would be talking about corrections and things of that nature. Kung Fu never left the family.
Not even during dinner.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me add upon that, though. Let me add, what happened when they started the tournaments, they came to me with the first tournament that they wanted to compete in. And they all had the entry forms. They all brought it. And they said, we want to do this. And at the time, the funds really weren't there for that. So I go, okay, if you want to do this, we'll find the way to get you there. But if you're going to do this, it means a commitment. From now until that time, you're going to train, and you're going to train hard. Because the family's putting their funds behind you, you have to show that you're willing to work hard for it. Now, after this tournament, if you don't want to keep on going to tournaments afterwards, you don't have to. It's totally up to you. All these different things that we've done, the different tournaments, we on Sundays, we get together, and this is why actually today was a good day to call here. We discuss things as a family. What do you guys want to do? What do you want to do out of life? Because if we're not having fun, why are we doing this? That's one of my philosophies. If we're not having fun, why are we doing this? But once you make the commitment, you have to understand, if you make this commitment, we're allocating all these funds. And not only that, when we got into Team International, we were being sponsored. I said,
right.
They expect a product. They expect a product. So what I taught them is that when you make a commitment, you need to work hard at it. If that's your goal, hard work pays off. So once they committed to a goal, and they knew what that meant. They knew in 3 weeks, all of a sudden their friends want to go to Santa Cruz or wherever it is. They're not going because we're in the backyard training. And that's the way it was. Now, after that tournament, if they didn't want to keep on going, they didn't have to. But they just kept on going because what was happening is that after a couple tournaments, then another thing would open up. Maybe, like, for example, you mentioned Tiger Claw. Tiger Claw called them to do modeling. So that was a new experience. It kept it new. Then all of a sudden something else, and then there was a demo over here, like Sifu Mark Gary's celebrity roast and stuff like that. Something out of the ordinary besides the tournament. They got invited by Jackie Chan, Sony Pictures, to go walk the red carpet with Jackie Chan and Will Smith and them to watch the premiere of Karate Kid and things of that nature. So there was always something, and it seemed like after maybe about 6-9 months of tournaments where it started to get a little bit old, something else would come up, either modeling or something, and that would refresh them. So I think that's why it kept them going. And they missed out on a lot. And they missed out because their friends would say, "What'd you do this weekend?" And I was in the backyard with my dad. Next weekend, "What'd you do this weekend?" I was in the backyard with my dad. You know, that's all they ever did, right?
Mm-hmm.
So their friends would tell them. Their friends would tell them, "I'm glad I'm not you." Initially, they'd say, "I'm glad I'm not you." But then all of a sudden, they're going to Hollywood, and they're meeting James Hong, and you guys went acting with James Hong, and Karate Kid, and Jackie Chan. Then all of a sudden, their friends said, "Wow, I wish I was you." And so it did turn, and they saw it. And they saw that their hard work did pay off.
Right. Very cool.
That is cool.
Now,
awesome.
I just looked up at the board there, and I realized that we don't have much time left. So I'm going to go ahead and ask one more question, and Bob, I'm sure there's going to be enough time for you to ask your last question. My question to all three of you is, if you ever meet a child that says, "Hey, you know," they meet you and they go, "Hey, I want to do martial arts. You know, how do I get started?" What advice would you give these kids?
Oh, that's a good question. I am smiling.
Don't smile.
That's a new
Don't
question.
Smile.
I was excited to answer. I would first ask them, like, what kind of martial arts they would like to do. So I would ask them, like, "Oh, do you want to do more forms, more sparring, like, where?" So I could give them a better direction on which discipline to go in. And then as they start, I would say don't get discouraged. Just have fun with it. Like, even though if you mess up, I messed up so many times. I fall silly and stuff like that. But that's what you learn. You learn from your mistakes. So I would say good luck to you. If you need any help, I would say, "Hey, I'll help you." I love my shorts. So, you know, you can always contact us. It'll be fun.
For advice, I would say just never give up, even if it gets very hard, because, like, not just martial arts, but in life, it will get hard. Just never give up and look forward and train really hard, practice really hard, and you'll get to where you want to be and possibly even further than what you thought.
Right on.
Yeah. My advice would be to make sure that you have that commitment, because it is martial arts. It's not only a sport, but to me, it's a lifestyle. It's not only movements that you're learning, but it also helps you in different areas of your life, like to have more confidence, to make sure that you don't give up, and to use martial arts for the right reasons, not just to go around and just beat up people and try to show how strong you are. Martial arts is supposed to, it shows you that you also help people and you got to respect everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But to never give up and to always keep trying, always keep striving to be the best person you could be. So that's my advice.
Very cool advice.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to point out before we end, you know, Rusty, that's a really good question. You know, if this demoing for the international doesn't work out, you do know that you are really going to hurt the person who put so much hard work into setting up these seminars if you don't go.
I guess that would be you, correct?
Yeah.
That was a
slight hint, wasn't it? There, Bob. That was subtle.
that you know, Rusty, that's never been my strong suit.
Yeah. Nope. Awesome. Very cool. Now, you guys have a studio, yes?
Studio?
Actually, we train at the house. The kids train. The kids teach at different studios.
I see.
But as far as us having our own studio, it's at the house. This is where I teach. I teach the kids.
Right on. Very cool. Very, very cool. Any last questions there, Sifu Bob?
No, this was a great show. This was a first for us. I was really excited about doing this show.
Yeah. So
thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedules to join us today.
Yeah, you guys are awesome.
Thank you.
You guys are so awesome. Thank you so much, and we look forward to meeting you at the Masters Hall of Fame ceremony.
Definitely.
Yeah,
excellent. Let's see you there.
Awesome. Thank you so much, and thank you, listeners, for listening. And if you have any questions whatsoever about the Magallanes family, just feel free to write on the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page, and we'll try to forward those questions to them. All right, so everyone have a great rest of the weekend, and we'll see everyone next week. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Y'all put it.